everyone. Your designers are here.
I'm Anita from Cedar Hill Farmhouse.
And I'm Yvonne Stone Gable.
And I'm Kelly from My Soulful Home. And we have tips and tricks and decorating advice for you. So let's get started.
This is episode 18, Decorating for Spring. We're so glad that you're here today with us. Spring is upon us, and we're very excited about spring. At least I am. I love spring. I've seen my first robin here where I live at Stone Gable. I always look for robins sometimes, late February into March, and I know that they are harbingers of spring, and spring are upon us. So we're very excited that you're here, and we're going to be talking about spring decorating today. And we live in such different areas of the country that I want to get everyone's spin on what does spring look like in your neck of the woods.
Well, spring in Southern California is pretty spectacular and short-lived. It's gonna get hot soon here, so we really enjoy the spring. We usually have a lot of rain. We hope for a lot of rain after Christmas through January and into February, and that has definitely been the case this year.
Yes, I've heard.
Oh, it's been so great because we were in a terrible drought. And my garden certainly suffered last year, abiding by the drought rules and all of that. So everything is so green right now. In fact, my daughter, Lara, we were driving back from a volleyball tournament, and we had to drive about an hour and a half away. And she was just in wonder of all the green hills and mountains, because normally they're all brown. So it's pretty spectacular here. And the camellias are all blooming, the winter camellias.
Oh, I love those.
They are really the first flower of the spring into the summer for us here.
Well, here in Texas, it's just amazing in the springtime. It's my absolute favorite time to be at the farm, which is in Round Top, because the end of March we get a ton of blue bonnets, and there's a lot of other wildflowers that come into bloom, but the blue bonnets are just absolutely astonishing. They're beauty.
Oh, and Anita, and I've seen pictures of your fields with the blue bonnets in it. Oh, that's when I'm going to come visit you in the spring.
I hope you all do, because it's just an amazing sight. Yeah.
Anita, was that Lady Bird Johnson who either started that, or I don't know if she was throwing her own seed bombs or what she was doing, but didn't she do something with all the wildflowers in Texas? Or
Yes, she did. She is known for being responsible for a lot of the amazing wildflowers in the state. So what she did was promote the planting of all these seeds of wildflowers. And so along a lot of the highways in Texas, there's just tons of wildflowers, you know, a lot of blue bonnets, Indian paintbrushes, and, you know, some other wildflowers. And it's really thanks to her. She really promoted that. And what a wonderful legacy for our state.
That is,
yeah. Yes, but I love that. A Lady Bird Johnson, the first guerrilla gardener. I love it.
and people, you know, ask us, you know, wow, how long did it take you to plant all these blue bonnets? Because we've had, you know, acres at a time, just a sea of blue bonnets. And what they don't realize is that they're native, and we don't do anything. In fact, they
really self-seed every year.
Right, but they're all volunteers. They're not planted, and they actually thrive on neglect. So if you see a field of blue bonnets,
I love a plant like that.
It's because it's stressed. There's you know, not enough water, and you know, not fertilized. So, you know, we do have our farm is in hay production, and the hay guy always wants me to fertilize, and I'll say no, because then I'm not getting my blue bonnet. So I don't think so. So
Anita, we'll put a picture of your blue bonnets up on the show notes, because they're spectacular. In Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, I call spring this area the quintessential spring time, because it is just spring perfection here. All the trees are flowering, and weeping cherries and the Bradford pears, and they're just in abundance here. And we have the lilacs come up, and late spring we have tons of peonies. So really, our earth starts coming.
I wish those grew here. They're just so beautiful.
They don't grow here either. I miss those from my New York gardening days.
Yeah. Well, we have a late blooming lilac tree out. Now, this is in May, so it's...
You're making me so jealous,
We have two regular ones in the back, but in the front we have one along our walk. And when we, obviously, all spring long, I'm a let's keep the windows open kind of girl.
Me too.
And our windows are wide open, and even on the second floor at night. And that, the scent of lilacs especially, and I just come wafting through our bedroom. It's just, it's an amazing scent. And that is, those are the days we leave it open, but we have what we call here dairy air as well, because...
What is that again? Dairy air.
You say that was a winner.
Because we have a lot of Amish farmers, and I mean, we're just surrounded by just farmland as far as your eye can see, and other farmers, and you know, they do a lot of fertilizing in the spring, and on days that they're out fertilizing their fields, those are the days we have to keep the window shut because it just doesn't smell as good. But here in Lancaster County, we're so used to that. That just smells like, okay, spring is here, and they're planting.
Bravo for the organic use of their fertilizer.
Yeah, like absolutely. That. Absolutely. So, but spring is really beautiful here. And, you know, we have, our area is a pretty big tourist area. Lancaster's the oldest landlocked city in the entire nation. And so people just come in droves for the history and also for the beauty of our countryside. And spring is such a big time here that, you know, you get into tourist traffic, it can just be amazing. So we know what roads to stay off of. But besides that, spring is just perfect. And we're going to talk about decorating in spring and how beautiful it is to decorate and bring some of that season that we see outside into our home. So we want to give a nod to the season. I'm really big into that when I'm decorating. Do you girls do anything special inside your home other than adding nods to the season during the springtime?
Well, I mean, here we basically crank up the air conditioning. in Texas, and then we pull all the blankets off the beds, and then we're about ready.
Then you're ready for summer.
No, spring, then summer. Oh my goodness. Oh,
how long does your spring last, Anita?
Well, what? How are you defining spring?
Well, you know, not super blooming, not super hot, warm though, lovely warm. Not
about 2 months.
But it's way earlier.
It depends on what you call hot. See, what I call hot is probably not the same thing as what you call hot.
Well, you know me. I'm not a fan of that heat and humidity.
I never realized it was that hot in Houston. We're going to let's go to the farm. Isn't it as hot there, too?
Well, Houston is hot, but I think the thing is it's not as hot as some places, but it's so humid it just feels like it's twice as hot. So, you know, the misery index is usually rather high.
I'm going to use that because I don't mind the heat. I hate the humidity. Yeah. And we live at the foot of the Piedmont, and boy, do we get that the terrible humidity. It's just as bad as almost the South.
And we're awfully close to the Gulf, so we definitely, it's extremely humid here year-round. But at the farm, it's actually a little bit warmer, but it's further from the coast, more inland, so it's a lot drier. And it's just a lot drier climate. It's amazing to me the difference in rainfall at the farm in Round Top versus here in Houston.
Where you are in Houston.
It's definitely a lot drier.
Do you do anything for spring? I mean, I'm thinking like spring cleaning, that kind of stuff.
I do. Well, I feel every year like it's just sort of a rite of passage, something that you do, just like when you pull out all your Christmas decor, you know, springtime. I just have the sense, like, just like you said, throw up the windows, freshen everything up, you know, get into those corners, you know, gather up the dust bunnies from the winter and scoot them out the door.
Can you come to my house and do that?
I grew up with a very, very, very clean household. My mother says,
I did too. I got you.
I have, what's the difference?
No
Why
comment.
I have OCD.
How about you, Nita Jean?
Oh, my mother worked, so I'm just going to say she was a rather busy woman.
Good for you.
Well, my mom calls OCD overly clean disease.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I wish I would have gotten that. Yeah, I don't. Well, I do like a clean house. I do like organized, but ooh, it's just not. I mean, my mother loves it. I don't get that. I mean,
she loves to clean.
She loves to clean. My mother's house. No, like, she goes down to the basement. She's always organizing her, like, five things she has in the basement.
Have you heard of this? Like, there's people that like to straighten and people that like to clean. And I'm a straightener, but not really a cleaner.
Okay. I do my 30-minute cleaning, so that takes care of everything.
Oh, I love your 30-minute cleaning, though. But, you know, it takes time, but I do like it, like a deep clean. So I like to do that in the house. And then, you know, it starts to move out, especially here, because we have a short, cool period, winter time. So I love having the warm throws and the textures and all that. Mm-hmm. But around this time of year, it's time to move that stuff out, or it kind of looks silly.
It is,
silly.
You're right.
So I like to do that. And then there's a few little Easter decorations that I've had for years since I was little that I like to bring out. Aww. And just start putting around some pastels, which I don't usually use, and just to make it a little fresher.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's, you know, I just read a really interesting post, and I will have to look for it, that they said don't just spring clean, spring organize, and spring purge. And
yeah, I do the
what
organize
a great
and the
idea. Do you purge? Yeah.
Well, I do the organize and the purge, but the cleaning, I have a professional person because I cannot do it.
I know. I agree.
I consult a professional.
Well, you know, I could hurt myself, so, you know.
Yeah, no, we don't want that.
Now, do you do things like change your bedding, and do you have spring bedding, any of you?
I'm just going to transition into some new beautiful bedding when my room is done.
Mm-hmm.
And we add, you know, layers. And I know we're going to talk about bedding another day, so I won't get too far into that. But, you know, take a few things off because you don't need it anymore. But other than that, I don't make a big change. I don't all of a sudden have a pink bedspread or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, bedspreads. Anyway, no one says bedspread anymore. Where did that come from?
Well, like, because nobody's...
Hey, I have a bedspread.
I have a bedspread.
Yeah, a light quilt I use as a bedspread. But anyway, we do the same thing. But I have been lately, you know, just this is because it's years and years of decorating. I've been trying to acquire like winter bedding and spring and summer bedding. So I'm on the prowl right now, which I love the hunt.
You know,
I want great stuff at a reasonable price. I'm on the prowl to change up the bedding in one of our guest bedrooms. That's exciting. And it's fun to do.
Where do you store your out-of-season bedding, Yvonne?
You know those, like, space bags that you suck all the air out of everything and just keep it under the bed?
Okay. Well, I like to go with linen sheets in the summer because they are so much cooler to the touch.
And, you know, we're going to be talking about that in the next couple podcasts.
I'm excited.
I don't know a lot about that, so I'm real excited. But
you will after the next couple of
podcasts. I'm glad.
After we do our research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And here's another question I have. And I'm so into this that I used to I decorate seasonally. I was a first grade teacher for so long. You know, you just bounce from one holiday to another. And I've sort of not lost that. And so I do decorate with a nod to what's outside, seasons and holidays. But, you know, I used to just wake up one day and do my downstairs. And all of a sudden, one day you're doing winter, and then the next day, pop, it's spring. Mm-hmm. But I've gotten into more like of a easy transition, like bringing things in that would work for both. Or, you know, bringing just little touches of things. And then as the season rolls on, adding more and more. What do you girls do?
Well, I like that, Yvonne, because it kind of gives you a little... You're not stuck in winter and then suddenly you go to spring, but it kind of lets you do a little bit as you go along. So I feel like you have something to look forward to and just a little bit of change every week or so. So I love that approach.
And, you know, and it's really fun because it's not like, oh my gosh, I've got to decorate for spring tomorrow. And it's your whole day and you've got all these things you have to take. We have a basement. Take down to the basement and bring back up. And I just love sort of that gradual think it through. Every day's a surprise because there's something new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you don't want to make it feel like, you know, you're walking into Macy's right after Halloween and all of a sudden all the Halloween's gone and it's Christmas and you're
exactly.
Oh, it's so jarring.
Yeah, the elves come at night and just change it all.
How does that happen? I love to... you know, add flowers, obviously, and springtime is perfect time. So tulips say spring to me, and also the forest branches. But I have an idea for everyone that I want to share about forest branches. I love
forest branches. Well, let's talk about that, because I do want to talk about other spring elements, but I just think this is so important, because I think we get out of decorating with tchotchkes of the season. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the gaggle of Easter bunnies or chicks or whatever. And we're really getting into more organics, which I love.
Oh, me too.
And you're literally
so
bringing
more
what's outside in. And I know you're our resident gardener. So let's talk. Can you talk a little bit about that to us, Kelly?
Oh, sure. Well, it's really easy to force some branches. So, you know, and I think we all do that, or you can do that. Just clip some from a flowering shrub or bush that you have, or you can buy them already packaged up at, you know, your Trader Joe's or your local grocery store. And it's so pretty to have the tall branches in a vase. And I even just love the way they look when they're not blooming. But I have an idea that you can use from year to year. Last year, I bought just plain willow branches. They were not going to bloom. They don't get flowers.
Like a curly willow?
Yeah, like a curly willow.
Oh, they're beautiful, just on their own.
They are beautiful on their own. And not, you know, not super, super curly, but sort of that wispy look.
Yes.
I bought them from some website, but I mean, you could just Google that. And but I did, I went to Michael's and I bought several stems of a very small, pale, very pale yellow, mostly white, little flower. And so I took all the petals apart and took the centers out, and then I glued them, you know, maybe every 5-8 inches, just where it would look natural on the willow branches.
So it looked like it was just beginning to bloom.
Yeah, so it has these tiny little flowers on them. Some were buds and some were petals, you know.
That's
so
a great idea, Kelly. I've even
and
people
only thing that, I mean, you know, it doesn't take you that long other than, you know, if you're using hot glue gun or regular glue.
Oh, I love that idea.
But you can't, you know, you have to kind of do it in batches, because you can't keep them in the vase on the vertical because the little buds slide down.
Sure they're totally affixed, right?
Yeah, exactly. I turned away to do something else and I came back and all my buds were on the bottom. So you just lay them flat, maybe do, you know, 5 or 6, then when they dry, you know, and maybe do 3 or 4 branches at a time, and then let them dry, go do something else, go clean your bathroom or get the dust bunnies, and then come back and you trim them.
Such
and
a
then
good
you
idea.
Do, you know, the other bits, and then when they're all dry, you can put them in your vase. And I love them. In fact, I'm going to dig them out today after
idea.
The podcast, because I've been thinking about them, and put them in a big vase.
And so much more realistic than so many of the sprays that you do get, because you want that early spring look.
Where the flowers are really far apart and they're just coming out.
So, and I've heard people that have the orchids, you know how hard it is to get them to bloom that second time after you buy them and the bloom dies? I know people that just buy the artificial bloom and put it on the real orchid plant.
Oh, my
guilty.
Gosh.
I do that.
See? I do. Right now,
okay. There you go.
My orchids are still going strong, but I have orchids, fake orchids downstairs that are really good. They look really well. And I'll stick those right in along with just the greenery, and that works.
Oh,
but let's talk about
you sly devils.
Let's talk about forcing real branches, though. Like, I know in my area, I can go out and pick forsythia, even lilac, but I just like to leave them alone. I like them to bloom naturally. Crabapple is gorgeous blooming. There's so many things that you can get, and the buds usually or the trees usually put forth their flowering buds here in the fall, so they're ready, and you can just tell they start to get a little swollen, and you just cut, at least, you know, you want them long, you don't want them short, because you want to have a big spray. And you cut them on the diagonal, and you either clip the stem at the bottom going up the stem, or you bruise it, you know, like smash it so more water gets in, and then put them in a vase and put water in it, and change your water every couple days, and just put them in a nice warm spot, and they just look beautiful. Mm-hmm. And my favorite really is crabapple, but I have to go to, I don't know if you have a terrain where you live. It's part of, it's the like garden shop of Anthropology.
And terrain is on Be Home, our app with us.
Yes, that's right. And their crabapples, I go there to get the crabapple because I just can't get it around here. They're beautiful. Mm. So even where you live, if you can't get anything organically, pussy willows just grow like weeds around here.
Oh,
so
I
you
love
just get it
them.
Everywhere.
But we've got the red buds. Do you have those?
Oh, yes. I've never tried forcing them. Do they force well?
Well, I just cut them after they've already started blooming and put them in a vase, but they're just gorgeous. Mm-hmm.
Well, see, you can do that. Around here, we don't usually get much flowering trees. Our trees don't come into flower till about mid-April.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, if we want, we can get an extra maybe month or so out of it. You can even start in February, but, you know, that this is come and gone. And we get them, and so we can just keep them inside and have them a little longer just by cutting them. And forsythias also around here are just like weeds.
Oh,
can
yeah.
I give a tip about
cutting
the branches?
Okay, yes.
So when you're going to cut any flowers, but since we're talking about the branches, it's best to do it with a sharp knife, not a scissor or a pruner, because you want to leave the stem, you know, I'm losing the name right now, but there's a bit of the stem where the water is conducted up to
yes.
the flower, right?
Yeah.
So if you cut it with a scissor, you're smashing them together and you're closing it off.
Oh,
right? So
good
what you want to do is take your flowers or your branches, bring them in, and in your sink, have them in a bucket or something of warm water.
That's right.
Cut them on the diagonal with your sharp knife under the water, and or take them and then rinse them off with some running cool water, and then put them right in. You don't want air
to get up there
because it's going to block the water.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good point.
From coming up.
Can I ask you another question?
I hope I can answer it.
Do you put any? I've never put any what is it? Flower preservative, or you can even use a ginger ale or a lemon lime soda. I've heard.
Right.
Do you ever do that in your flowering branches? I've never done that.
I try to use that, and you know, sometimes it comes in the little packet if you buy your flowers from Trader Joe's or something.
Yes, yes.
And I don't have a canister under my sink right now as I ran out, but so I do and I don't. But it is a good idea to do it. It really does extend the life, and it helps the water uptake. It inhibits any bacteria from growing. But you know, if you don't have that, or you don't want to use something that has chemicals in it, but you know these are fairly harmless and they're getting mixed in with a lot of water, you can use a sugared lemon lime soda.
Sure, I've heard
like
of that.
12 ounces to a gallon.
Oh, really?
So you just figure out whatever that math is. Anita can do that math for you. but it really does help. The best thing that you can do is just make sure that the water is clean.
Yes.
Cut it properly.
Yes.
And then rinse
make sure
it, right?
the water
and you change
is clean.
The water.
Yeah, change the water about every 3 days. I mean, you know, sometimes if you forget and, you know, and you walk by and you're like, ooh, that doesn't really smell like flowers anymore. It's probably, you know, the yucky water. And just make sure you take all the foliage off that would be submerged in the water.
Oh, yes.
Because
definitely.
That, you know, really breeds the bacteria and the germs.
Kelly,
stuff.
These are excellent tips. Do you do anything else to decorate for spring? I know that as spring comes along, you know, not maybe very first, but, you know, as spring moves along, I love to decorate, like tucking a faux nest with some eggs here and there. Do any of you do that?
Oh, definitely. I love the little faux nest. And this is the time where I do like to put some plants out. Like we said, I don't know how long they'll live, but I did put some plants under a cloche, you know, that we talked about in a previous episode. Mm-hmm. But I also, my ivy almost died the other day. I was afraid I was going to have to come on and tell everyone that it had died.
And it was doing so well.
Well, I took it out. It was dry. I watered it and put it by the light, and it's actually revived. So I'm just so excited.
Oh, good job! You watered it. You're gonna earn that gardening award back.
But
let's see what happens with the ivy.
I'm working on it, Kelly.
But other than plants, what I mean, I know I use use little nests, and I actually make them, and we'll put that on the show notes. I have a really good tutorial for how to make a realistic looking nest. Super easy, a little sticky because you have to use like a spray glue and fixative. But
have you ever used a real nest? Because I have, and they just fall apart.
Well, I'm a little funny about like that kind of like germy stuff coming into my house. But I liked what I love to do with them is just like put them. If I have my dining room table has branches on it and what have you, and then I can put on candlesticks, like stick a little nest on top of a silver candlestick.
Cute idea.
Doesn't that look pretty?
Yeah,
and nice. Also, do not negate using beautiful faux branches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I go to a specialty store for them, and they're an investment.
The special faux branch store near you.
That's exactly right. But more of a design store, you know.
That's in Lancaster.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. The
faux branch store. Yeah, we do have them in Lancaster. And they cost a little more, but, you know, I've had them for like a dozen years, and they hold up wonderfully, and they look beautiful. Mm-hmm. So every year I just keep adding to that, and now I can put them in a big urn, and they look very realistic. Mm-hmm.
I love that, a big urn with branches coming out of it. That's so stunning. And wow, what a dynamite focal point. Hey, I did something last year with eggs, and I really loved it. So I think I'm going to replicate it again this year. There's a post that we can put in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not going to be really surprised because you know how I feel about spray paint, but I spray painted the eggs gold.
What color?
Oh, I knew it was going to be gold.
Oh, the golden egg.
So I did just a few golden eggs, and then I mixed in real brown eggs and white eggs.
Oh, I bet you that's beautiful.
I loved it. And you know what I put it with? And I really, somebody should just teach me how to knit. I really want to learn how to knit. I just haven't never taken the time to learn, but I love the yarn, and I can just get lost in the aisle. And I, you know, and I see all these people with their patterns, and they know what they're going to make. I just like the balls of it.
So, you know, the
seams. Is that how you say it? So I took, I bought just luscious ivory-colored ones and white ones and a soft sort of a taupey mixed one. And then I tied them up with some sort of shreddy linen little ribbons and tucked them all in a basket with these eggs. Oh, and it just looks so pretty. And, you know, with Easter.
Do you have a picture of that?
Yeah, on my blog. I have a bunch of pictures of it.
Oh, great idea.
And you know, it was Easter-y, but it wasn't overly sweet Easter-y, and it wasn't.
That's exactly what I look for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And another idea that's along that line is I have an old 7-Up crate, you know, with all the little individual the little holes that you would put each individual bottle, and I make that I make that like a little spring topiary / hello to spring, and I put like a nest in one and fill another little hole with eggs, and then
I
plant like thyme in one, and just like a ball of not yarn but a ball of twine in another one, just here and there, and it makes a really it's a great vignette.
Well, and I think on your blog, Yvonne, a bottle holder, and it had mason jars and had the herbs in them. It just looked beautiful.
Yes,
very fresh.
And very fun to do in the spring. Absolutely.
And then I know it maybe sound a little cliche, but I still love my lambs, and I just found this gorgeous vintage kind of concrete. It's very, very heavy lamb that I set out, but I also have them. I think they're from the old nativity scenes that you can buy.
Yes, the little ones. I've seen those.
Well, I mean, some of these are rather large. I think they were from churches, so I have some very large lambs, and they're just beautiful. So I like setting those out too.
Oh, what a great idea.
But that is a great idea, because probably a lot of vintage nativity sets get broken up, and you might just have like a, you know, Joseph off on his own and some lambs someplace else, right?
And see, that just fits in, because the best thing I can tell, a tip I can give about decorating for spring, is just do not overdo it. You know, you want to tuck it in. Like those little lambs, they could show up somewhere really sweet that unless you're really looking for them, you wouldn't necessarily, they wouldn't like scream at you. But what a sweet little surprise. Or tucking a nest somewhere, putting it on, like I said, on a candlestick, or sticking it in a corner, or even putting it like a little nest in a plant you already have at the base. How pretty would that be? Yeah, don't overdo it. A subtle hand.
Yeah.
A subtle hand.
Agreed.
pretty. Well, yeah, and wreaths. We can always add in some wreaths at this time of year, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't really do a post-Christmas one, but then around this time of year, a spring wreath is really pretty for your front door.
I love wreaths. It's like I love pillows, like I love vignettes. Yeah, yeah. Never
you just
leave
love
your door. Never leave your
does.
Door empty, because that's the welcome. That's your first welcome to your guests. Mm-hmm. So you want to give them a little taste of what awaits them inside. And yes, spring wreaths. I have a bunch of them. Forsythia, weeping cherry, real wispy, and we'll put those on our show notes as well.
So do you do artificial or do you do real on your wreaths?
No. Artificial, definitely artificial. Okay. And every year a bird builds its nest on our front door.
That's so funny.
We let them go. It's like a science lesson, but they do, the gunk that comes out of the nest really does do a lot of damage to our paint. So we're always like having to sand and repaint. But it's so worth it to see those little birds. Mm. They're so sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and smart little birds. I mean,
smart like, little birds.
Did she put the wreath up yet? Let's get in there.
Yeah, they like this area. Birds are always looking for like the best place to build their nest.
Well, if I was a bird, I'd build my nest in Stone Gable too.
Oh, thank you. Like some people shoo them away. I'm like, oh, let them go. Look how cute. Aww.
That's okay. Bobby will repaint the door. It's okay.
No, Yvonne will repaint the door. That's about my speed.
Well, I love all of this. I'm excited for spring, and I'm going to look for my branches today to put them out. So
I know.
Me too. Is that Yvonne? Do you have anything else?
No, I think that's about it. I mean, I think we've covered some really cool tips for our readers. Force those branches. Use faux branches. Tuck a little bit spring here and there. Transition. Mm-hmm. Enjoy spring to the fullest in your area, because it's very short-lived.
All right. Well, remember, we're here to inspire you to create a beautiful home. Until next time.
Hey there, if you're loving our podcast like we're loving our podcast, we would love you to rate and review us. Head to iTunes to do that. It's easy and it would mean so much to us. And if you do rate and review us, we're going to enter you to win a fantastic giveaway. The details for the giveaway are in the show notes for this episode, and you can find the show notes at decoratingtipsandtricks.com.